From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, January 26th. Coming up, we'll hear from University of Illinois College of Law Dean Vikram Amar on some of the legal issues surrounding Illinois' new assault weapons ban. That conversation is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Temperatures above freezing helped keep this week's snowstorm at bay. The National Weather Service issued a winter storm warning for much of East Central Illinois on Tuesday. Originally, the forecast called for up to 5 inches of snow. But by yesterday afternoon, the service had canceled its winter storm warning. Vince Gustafson is director of the Urbana Public Works Department. He says the higher temperatures contributed greatly to melting with their drivers' salt applications. Gustafson says Urbana ended its plowing services at 7 o'clock last night. The Illinois Department of Transportation says many roads across the state are partly to mostly snow and ice covered this morning, in part because of blowing snow and temperatures falling below freezing last night. The National Weather Service says light snow or flurries will continue through today. 32-year-old Tyler Wayne Massengill of Chillicothe faces a federal arson charge in connection with the firebombing of the Peoria Planned Parenthood Clinic earlier this month. Tim Shelley has more.
Massengill is officially charged with malicious use of fire and an explosive to damage and attempt to damage property used in and affecting interstate commerce. Court documents say the Chillicothe man told authorities he broke out a window and placed a burning container into the building. Massengill reportedly told investigators that if his actions caused, quote, a little delay in a person receiving services from the Peoria Clinic, it may have been, quote, all worth it. Massengill was identified by authorities after Peoria police received a tip about the suspect's white pickup truck. The suspect reportedly offered to pay a woman $300 to repaint the truck's distinctive red driver's side door the day after the fire, according to prosecutors. The U.S. Attorney's Office in the Central District of Illinois has requested a federal judge issue a warrant for Massengill's arrest. He's currently being held in the Peoria County Jail. I'm Tim Shelley.
The Illinois Department of Human Services announced the food aid program known as SNAP will return to pre-pandemic levels beginning March 1st. That will affect more than 2 million people in the state. DHS spokesperson Marissa Colias says the department is urging recipients to report changes in income or expenses to ensure they get the greatest benefit even after the reductions go into effect.
We deeply recognize that this is a tough change and that this will affect people significantly. So we are working again with our local food pantries across the state of Illinois just to make resources available for folks.
The department predicts recipients will receive anywhere from $95 to $250 less per month. This announcement follows an act passed by Congress in December that ended the additional COVID-19 emergency funding for SNAP. Still to come, we'll learn more about the legal issues surrounding Illinois' new assault weapons ban. A conversation with Vikram Amar from the University of Illinois is next on 217 Today.
American Masters, Becoming Helen Keller, examines one of the most important human rights activists of the 20th century. The documentary tells the story of the complex life and legacy of author and activist Helen Keller, who was deaf and blind most of her life. Through archival film clips, rare photographs, and expert interviews, you'll learn how she used her celebrity and wit to advocate for women, workers, and people with disabilities. Find out how you can watch as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The assault weapons ban that Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed into law earlier this month already faces several legal challenges. Vikram Amar is the dean of the University of Illinois College of Law. He joined the 21st show to discuss some of the issues surrounding guns. Amar says the Supreme Court did not rule that the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution applied to individual gun owners until the 1990s.
So there's really been only two or three big Supreme Court cases since the 90s. One was called Heller versus District of Columbia, where the Supreme Court held for the first time in modern history that the Second Amendment does protect individual rights to keep and bear arms. They struck down a D.C. Ban on handguns that was challenged by someone who said, I need to keep a handgun in my home for personal protection. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, you have a right to do that. And then they invalidated a similar ban in City of Chicago versus McDonald, which also prohibited the possession of handguns and was struck down in a challenge brought by someone who said, I need to keep a handgun in my house. Now, both of those cases made very little law in the following important respect. D.C. and Chicago were the only places in the country that prohibited all handgun possession, even in homes, even for self-defense. So the court didn't strike down regulations that a lot of states were engaged in, involving registration, involving ammunition, much less involving weapons that are very different in kind, in the minds of some people at least, from simple handguns. Then just last year, the Supreme Court decided the Bruin case, which struck down New York's regulation of concealed carry on the ground that New York withheld too much discretion among its bureaucrats in deciding whether to permit someone to engage in concealed carry. But even there, the law in New York that was struck down was one of only five or six or seven laws like that in the country. So I think the two big points to make about the Supreme Court, and anyone who says they know what's going to happen is selling you a bill of goods, because no one should know what's going to happen. The court has yet to decide a case that strikes down major gun regulation of the kind that many states have engaged in. Not to say they won't do it, but they haven't done it. So far, they've invalidated laws that are very outlying and that involve relatively kind of under important, lesser important regulation of handguns compared to regulation of automatic or semi-automatic or assault weapon style guns. Now, the big thing that the court said in the Bruin case last year is we have to look at the history, either in 1791 or in 1868, the court wasn't clear, but we have to look at the history to decide whether at the founding of the Second Amendment, whether a law like the one in question would have been okay. And that's a tough thing to do, to draw these historical analogies when you didn't have the same kind of weapons around in the 18th and 19th centuries that you have today. So there's a lot of uncertainty about exactly how aggressive the Supreme Court will be in striking down gun regulations of the kind that are shared by a lot of states that involve higher power weapons.
Comparing the sort of ball and musket to the AR-15. You know, we're very short on time, unfortunately.
Sure.
One other thing I did want to ask you about, and we, again, I'll probably only have about a minute and a half here,
sure,
but is this idea of sheriffs saying, you know, sure, what my fealty is to the Second Amendment, not this state law. Are they on solid ground there?
They might be, provided that the Illinois Constitution gives them the power rather than the state attorney general and governor to decide about enforcement. In general, under separation of powers, executive branch officials have prosecutorial discretion. They never have to go ahead and prosecute. A court can tell a prosecutor or a cop, hey, you can't arrest or prosecute this person, but it's very hard for a court to ever tell a cop or a prosecutor, you must enforce the law against this person. And laws are under-enforced all the time. Think about speeding laws. Speeding laws are enforced very differently in different states and in different counties. So if a state wanted to, it could say, enforcement decisions are entirely up to the state level executive branch, the attorney general and the governor, in which case the sheriffs couldn't do what they're doing. But if the Illinois Constitution does what it seems to do, and that is vest power in local elected executive officials, then the check on that power by these local officials is really political. You can vote them out of office if you don't like their policy or their understanding of the Second Amendment.
That's Vikram Amar, Dean of the University of Illinois College of Law. He spoke with Brian Mackey on the 21st Show. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have cloudy skies and snow flurries with a high of 27 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Luis Velasquez, Tim Shelley, Cameron Cutinello, and the 21st Show. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.